We have returned to the Pleasant Street Tea Company. I'm Rick Moore, along with Heather Atwood. This is MSO News Sports, and we're counting down the universe's greatest dishes, or actually the country.
Yeah.
We're doing that. We're going to be talking about Heather's website again this week and some of the stuff that's on there. And I also want to point out that you introduced me to Jackie Ganem
DeFalco.
DeFalco. I knew that. You just didn't give me that. And her artwork and all the great things she does. And that was a tremendous visit I had with Jackie. We have a great interview with her up on the website with some and her studio. Have you been to her studio?
I have been to her studio. I actually own some of her pieces. Oh, okay. And I have given my daughters some of her pieces, her beach glass pieces. They are beautiful. She really does. I mean, you think of beach glass and you think of these, you know, things that roll up that on the beach that are about like a triangle size. But she does beautiful things with them.
I made a connection because my wife actually makes angels out of sea glass. She's been doing it. She learned that from her aunt a long, long time ago. And we've got these little angels that we have. And so Jackie understood that. And it was pretty cool to see what she does with all this stuff. And Cape Ann Sea Glass is the name of it? Or
Cape Ann Designs.
Cape Ann Designs,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. I appreciate it. All right. So now let's, before we talk food, let's talk about shelves at heatheratwood.org.
Yes, it's .org, not com, heatheratwood.org. Mm-hmm. So it's a long story why that's the case, but that's what you have to remember. But the title of the website is actually Shelves, and I say it is where I keep my recipes, keep my favorite recipes, and maybe some favorite stories. So these days, I'm kind of having fun with it because I'm being a little bit looser, and if I cook
explain that. A little bit looooser?
Well, what shall I...
Less organized?
I'm more casual about... Oh, okay. For instance, I made this really wonderful soup last week, and I thought, you know what? I'm putting that up on my blog. So I just typed out the recipe and, you know, 40 words of introduction. Mm-hmm. It's just telling people, this is a really good recipe. It's not connected to Cape Ann necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's Peruvian chicken soup. It has tons of cilantro and lime in it, and it's kind of what I am craving this time of year. You might not be, but it's very fresh tasting. And
I'm thinking the Cadbury Easter egg is what I'm thinking.
And I'm thinking Peruvian chicken soup. So I'm not worried about writing some long history of the dish. I'm just like, this is a good recipe. I'm putting it up there. People should know this is a good recipe.
I think it's very important because a lot of times people will be looking for something or maybe an idea, and especially with food, a lot of people will tend to, good cooks will tend to make up their own stuff or have an idea. And if they go and take something and look at it that quickly, they can do what you have recommended, or they can say, you know what, I want to make my own little variation on this.
Right, exactly. And also, the other thing I'm thinking about is we are so saturated with content, including recipes. And anyone who cooks knows that you go online and there's just so much. And another thing that happens in lots of recipe blogs is there are like 30 pictures of how to do it with all this text in between the pictures. And I personally am at a point where I just say, just give me the recipe. I have to work through all your beautiful pictures? I really don't care. I just want the recipe.
But that comes from the old days of the index cards.
There you go. Exactly. So my blog Shelves is almost like index cards.
Excellent.
If there's one picture, there's going to be one picture of the finished product, and there's going to be a short bit of text. Not always. I mean, I have a longer piece on curry that we'll talk about. But I'm just putting them up sort of quickly. There's another really great recipe I have for spinach, which is going up pretty soon.
My wife loves spinach.
Oh, she's going to love this recipe. If this is like, my husband is addicted to this stuff. It's kind of special. So that's going to go up soon. And it's just, again, simply a good recipe for spinach. It's not local necessarily. It's not even seasonal. But it's good.
I've noticed his big forearms. I get that. Wow. Well, the thing is I think it's a great idea, and to be able to do that. There's a television show called A Man and a Plan. Well, my wife got me a book, A Man with a Can of Food. So I gather it won't be that simple if I go to your website.
No, I don't think so. I don't think you should. You could look at the pretty pictures, Rick, but I'm not even sure you'll like the pretty pictures. But Martha will like it.
Okay. All right, so that's cool. And do you have any favorites up there right now otherwise? I mean, you have, you've got others up there besides the one you just put up there.
I have a longer piece, and now I'm contradicting myself. I have a longer piece on curry. And what happened was I went to dinner at a friend's house in Ipswich, and she is an amazing cook, and she made Malaysian curry. She is from Malaysia, so this was her family's dish. Mm-hmm. And it got me sort of thinking about curry, and I'm like, you know, I don't really, there's got to be a story behind curry, and there's some pretty good stories. Now, for one, you probably, when I say curry, do you think of yellow curry powder? You probably think of nothing, right? No. He's a blank slate, my dear friend.
For some reason, mayonnaise came to my mind. I don't know what curry is. Okay. It's a college up in Maine.
Okay. I'm going to, for the sake of our listeners, I'm going to say curry is two things. Curry is a little jar of spice powder in your cabinet called curry powder. Okay? And that is actually what curry isn't. What curry really is a cuisine that has taken over the earth. It started in South Asia, India, Thailand, Bhutan, is that one? So that part of the world, right? Malaysia, Indonesia. Now there is curry everywhere, and including the West Indies. Curry is definitely there. It's in Africa, South Africa even. So it's really taken over. And there are three components to a real curry. There is this, you start with a spice blend, okay? So it's often aromatics, as they say, which is like fresh cilantro, fresh ginger, lemongrass, and that's pounded. Sometimes dried spices are added to that. Mm-hmm. So it's this super, super intense paste, mm-hmm. and it's very fragrant. Mm-hmm. And that has to be cooked somehow. It's either fried or it's boiled. And then there are other ingredients added to it, like chicken or a fish, or there could be lobster in there. There can be beef.
Okay.
So all different kinds of ingredients will turn it into a chicken curry, a beef curry.
Oh, okay.
And there's almost an infinite number of variations. So all these different cultures have changed this basic recipe. You start with an aromatic paste. You either boil it or you fry it. Then you add usually coconut milk or chicken broth, something like that, and then these other proteins. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, or sometimes it's just lentils. Lots of variations. But what is kind of interesting, here's one interesting story. We all know that the British colonized India, right? So all these royal Brits show up in this country and they start eating curry because curry is there.
Mm-hmm.
And they really like it. And when they go home to England, they want to reproduce it. So some very, very clever Indian entrepreneur said, oh, we're going to make this little powder for you to take home to England, so you will be able to reproduce what you had here in India. And that was curry powder.
Wow, okay.
And curry powder is not at all. That's why there are the two things. There's the curry powder, mm-hmm. that went back to England, and then there's this other way of making curry all around the world, which is the real way. But we in the West kind of get confused because we think that curry powder, that little jar of right. yellow spices, is the thing.
Okay, so what did you do with your recipe? What did you make, or how did that work?
So I made a spiced fish curry in coconut milk.
Mm.
So it was the aromatics. Again, I just used no dried spices. This recipe is from Thailand, actually. So it's just, they don't use dried spices so much in Thailand when they make a curry. So it was the aromatics, lemongrass, ginger, and shallots. You pound those together, you saute them in coconut milk, you add the fish, and then you add some more coconut milk and some chicken broth, and then you throw lots and lots of cilantro and scallions on top. So it's actually, the picture looks very bland, but this dish is full of flavor.
It actually does sound appetizing. How long does it take to do something like that, to make a dish like that?
That takes start to finish. It's a little bit of chopping and pounding, half an hour.
Okay.
Right? I mean, it was a quick weeknight dinner, and it was so delicious and had so much flavor in it.
You're beginning to take away all of my excuses for not doing this stuff for my wife. Oh, my goodness. That sounds fantastic. And again, that's at shelves at heatheratwood.org, and you've got other stuff up there as well. We should point out that if you stay with us, you hear so many stories. You get some great stories. And I want to encourage you to tell us more stories about when you were on the road last year and the year before, because you met so many people, so many great people. I know that's still up. That Podcast is still up there, right?
Yep, it's still up there. You can still listen to it. And there's a website, and there all my recipes are printed on the website.
Okay.
Actually, from that those travels.
Okay.
So, well, yeah, okay, next week I'll have a story for you.
Good, because it's great stuff, and I just encourage people to go to all of that stuff. So should we we switching over to the best dishes now?
I'm good.
All right, so we are at 16 and 15 of the greatest meals or dishes are most popular in America.
Yes. So we, number 16, I'm so curious to hear what your response will be, because number 16, remember we're getting close to number one,
mm-hmm.
so it's getting kind of more traditional Americana,
mm-hmm.
barbecue ribs.
Okay.
So what do you think?
On the Rick Morris.
You're hitting my wheelhouse now, right? All
right,
yeah, we're getting there.
Right?
Okay, curiously, I love ribs, okay? Absolutely love ribs, and my wife loves ribs, and we love to have them. However, wait a minute. That's pork, right?
Well, they can be beef. In Texas, they're beef.
Okay, usually. Because we have sort of gotten away from pork as much as we love the taste, because we have come to believe that pigs are intelligent, loving animals, and so we don't want to do that anymore. But it's a very popular, and of course we lapse every now and then, and that's a great one. So tell me about ribs.
Well, I mean, what I'm going to tell you about ribs, probably a lot of people already know, but I will say, I didn't know this, that they believe the first time that ribs were really introduced to Westerners were when the Spanish landed in the Caribbean in the 15th century, maybe early 16th century, and they saw natives in the Caribbean cooking meat over a very low fire for a very long time, and they called it barbacoa.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems to be the origin of that word.
Okay.
Yeah. But the first time barbecue is actually documented in North America is in 1672. It gets a mention in some piece of literature. And in 1769, George Washington went to a barbecue in Alexandria, Virginia. So, you know, it became popular pretty early.
Washington went to a cookout here. All
right,
there
right,
you go.
Right,
yeah, cool.
So, all right, so that's that. But the thing that people sort of barbecue enthusiasts know is that there are basically four kinds of barbecue in this country. Do you know that? Okay. So I'm going to ask you what your favorite is. There is the Memphis, Tennessee-style barbecue, which is mostly pulled pork. So in kind of a tomato-based sauce,
gotcha.
It's a little bit sweet.
Yep.
There's the North Carolina barbecue, which is usually pig, and it's often a whole pig.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do there. They do these pig roasts.
Yep.
And there's a vinegar-based sauce.
Okay.
So you don't get that sweet, tomato-y thing. Okay.
Yep.
There is Kansas City, which are usually pork ribs, but they're also beef ribs. And they're usually cooked with a dry rub.
Okay.
So you don't, and the sauce might be served on the table.
Yep.
And then there's Texas, which traditionally has done beef for obvious reasons.
Texas.
Right?
Texas,
yeah, you like
absolutely.
Texas. Yeah,
all the way.
Yeah.
All the way.
Yeah. All right, because that's where you're from. We know that you have you lean that way. But they do some pulled pork in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yep.
But the western part of the state is definitely all mesquite grilled cowboy
there you go.
Style.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
yep.
right. Yep. So, so that's my rib thing. I would say that personally, I often think, I could really just be a vegetarian because I really love vegetables so much. As you can tell, I cook with a lot of green things, right?
Right
and
right.
I love the flavors in vegetables, except for ribs. I love ribs.
Yeah?
Yeah,
okay.
I really do.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, and I would take ribs over filet mignon any day. Or any sort of really, fancy, expensive cut of steak.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. They're the most popular, and they're literally finger-looking good.
They're so good.
Yeah.
Okay, so number 15. This is interesting. I don't know how it's going to land in the Rick Moore scale. A BLT.
A BLT. Now, that, I'm not surprised that that's high on the list, because that is...
And it's higher than ribs, or it's more popular than ribs.
Well,
right?
it's sort of more... It seems like that's a bit of Americana, BLT.
Yeah,
you see
right.
it everywhere, and you see it anytime that you're in a hurry or whatever.
It's the number two most popular sandwich in the country.
Really?
Number one is ham.
Okay, that makes sense. And BLT, again, you've got the pork in there with the bacon, and I'm trying
right.
to get away from that. And I also don't like lettuce and tomato, and I'm not crazy about bread.
It's just a funny thing.
I know it's popular.
Well, I think what you need is a slice of turkey bacon on a plate and go. Call that a BLT.
That'll
the Rick
work.
Moore BLT.
Yeah. There you go.
That's really funny. So, well, I'm a fan of BLTs. Mm-hmm. I am. And because I like mayonnaise and I like lettuce and tomato
like
and bread.
Either. I forgot about that.
Okay. Yeah, right, right. See, there you go. See, yeah. I could almost skip the bacon because even though
right.
I love ribs,
right.
I don't care that mm-hmm. much about bacon. Bacon is such a big thing right now. But
so how did this get started? Do you know how a BLT got started?
Yeah, you know, this is so interesting. Victorian tea sandwiches.
No way.
Yes way.
All right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And then there's a little bit of a crossover.
I can't see Queen Vicky doing that, but there you go.
Apparently there was a recipe for, you know, a little bit of lettuce, a little tomato, and a little bacon on some bread.
How about that?
Crusts cut off, probably.
Yep.
Right?
Of course.
Yeah. So, but there's a little crossover there with club sandwiches. So they sort of think that maybe, and club sandwiches came before BLT.
Well, I was going to say, I will have bacon in a club sandwich. That is my favorite. A turkey club sandwich is my absolute favorite. So that's a variation on BLT.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
huh. It's interesting that you like a club sandwich,
which
has one extra slice of bread in it.
Exactly, but no mayonnaise. I have them dry.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. So the last...
And tomato's my vegetable, so I'm all set.
Because you got to get a vegetable in there somehow. And lettuce is non-existent, really. It's not even a thing. But the last piece of interesting thing about a BLT is the name itself, BLT.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that that comes from the lunch counter slang. You know, have a BLT,
you know,
yelling out to the chefs, you know, three BLTs, mayo on the side for Rick Moore.
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So that's what I got.
I think it's great and very fascinating. I can't wait now that we're heading toward the top 10, and those make sense. But I do want to encourage everybody to visit Heather's website, heatheratwood.org, and look at shelves and see all the great stuff that's up there, and also to tune into the podcast, The MidPod, because there are some amazing interviews there. And I don't know what came to fruition, if you guys have done a post
analysis
of that or gotten together on that, because I don't know how it turned out with the people that you saw, but we can investigate this.
A lot of them won their races. I think only two that I can think of did not win their races.
Okay.
But Gina Ortiz Jones and MJ Hager, and then in Kentucky, Amy McGrath.
Okay.
So three that I can think of offhand. But I need to jump back to my blog for just a second, because I'm going to make some connections here.
Yep.
There is a great story about Jackie Gannum DeFalco, who we were speaking of earlier. So I was invited to her home, her lovely home, to make her traditional Lebanese stuffed grape leaves. So there's a great video. There are a couple of videos on there on Jackie making her stuffed grape leaves. There's a long story. So you can check her out there, too.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That is Heather Atwood. This is MSONewsSports.com.